have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific. Prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Stafford Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Tuesday, September 6th, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Well, are you rested after all of those days off? No?
I don't know. You know, it's like we were talking about it before
yes.
The program.
Just say
no,
yes.
No. I'm not going to start fibbing, Melody. I'm perhaps more rested than I was, but still, it's. But these holidays are not what they're cracked up to be. You know, you go in and you
poor soul. Well, we did survive, Hermine here in the where I'm located, and you know, it was. So I hope those the rest on the East Coast fared well. Gold today fared extremely well today. We're looking up $21.60 at $1,349. I told you guys, pressure prior to the weekend, pressure prior to the G20 meeting, and afterwards, gold will pop. We had a nice pop today, along with silver popping 50 cents at $20.12, back over $20. It's good to see that happen once again. Platinum, big day for platinum, up $25. At 11.02, and palladium was up 19 at 7.01. And again, another good piece of advice, if you have your gold and silver portfolio and you wanted to diversify a little bit, platinum would have been a good buy. Still is not a bad buy. It's still, what, 250 lower than gold, and gold is platinum usually sells higher than gold. That's just the history of it. So anytime it dips below gold, it can be a good diversification for your precious metals holdings. And we have the pressure on the dollar day, 89 to the downside at 94.88. Crude oil was up 41 at 44.85. Paper markets today, you have the Dow up 46. That was all over the place. It was negative territory midday. It did come back. 18,538. The NASDAQ was up 26 at 5,275. The S&P was up 6 at 21.86. And the 10-year yield, down 3.32% at 1.54%. And, of course, the euro being stronger with the dollar down, and that was 1.12. All Asian and European markets were stronger. Coming out of the big old G20 meeting that was held in China. And, you know, it's just the same thing. I don't know what they do at these meetings. They certainly won't announce it to you and me. They could pretend to announce some things. And what they did announce is that supposedly there were some proposals that emerged to meet some challenges to globalization and free trade. Sounds to me like they might be running scared as to some of these countries that are saying, hey, you know, maybe enough is enough. And there was a two-day gathering in the China's city Hangzhou. Not sure if that's the proper way to pronounce it. But they want to, their aim is to revive growth engines of international trade and investment, is what the Chinese president said in a closing statement. We will support multilateral trade mechanisms and oppose protectionism to reverse declines in global trade. So if they're not going to support, what are they going to do for the reverse when perhaps there is some changes in the global trade agreements?
They're talking about is things are getting tight. People are buying. They are increasingly locally rather than import from China. And China, they depend on exports. That's their problem. They're scared to death that if people don't buy their stuff, what's going to happen in China?
Well, I get that. But what are they going to do to defend it is my point.
Well, I don't think they can jawbone a little bit and they can try to persuade people, but they are fighting a rising tide of nationalism.
Absolutely.
That's taking place around the world right now just because people are tight for dollars, right? And they don't dollars or euros or whatever, and they're trying to protect what they have, and therefore there's pressure not to buy from foreign countries.
Yeah.
So China's on the skids is what it comes down to.
We had the Brexit vote. We have Trump that's beginning to get out in the head this weekend in Germany. Merkel's, Chancellor's Angela Merkel, her party was relegated to third place behind an anti-immigrant party. And that's in a regional election they had on Sunday. And she says, I'm very unsatisfied. Well, yeah, well, you would be with the outcome of the election. She's obviously has something to do with the refugee question, but she nevertheless believes the decisions made were right. And you know, she's not going to back down. She's going to continue, and she's going to, you know, because she's got an agenda she has to complete as long as she is in office.
Yep.
And she's going to continue to promote and do what has to be done, just like we have Obama doing the same thing here with the refugees. They're coming
in. Is Obama doing that because he wants to do it, or is he doing it because he's George Soros' puppet? And if the answer is yes, we also saw Obama had a Nobel Prize as perhaps George Soros' puppet. Al Gore was George Soros' puppet. He got a Nobel Prize for doing a PowerPoint presentation on global warming. I'm wondering how many people in government around the world has Soros bought and paid for? And it raises the question, not only is the Nobel Prize for sale to the highest bidder, but what about Angela Merkel? Is she expressing her real opinions? We need more of these refugees. Is that what she personally believes, or is that what she's paid to promote?
Both. I don't think they probably believe they're paid to promote it. Of course, you know, I do believe I mean, there's no other way you can get around it, because they're going to go through with these bringing the refugees in, and there's no stopping them. And
well, they can be stopped anytime somebody wants to stand up on their hind legs.
Well, you know what I mean, Al, and so do the listeners. But at this point in time, and hopefully we can get somebody in office that will say enough is enough.
Well, that's a little of what we saw in this last election.
Yes.
When Merkel came in third place, it's signaling that the public has had enough.
So she's on her way out.
Hopefully.
But she'll be able to, I'm not sure when they have the actual election, but these are regional elections. It's coming up soon. Yeah, the British Prime Minister, Theresa May, she was attending her first G20 summit since the Brexit, and she replaced David Cameron. And she said governments needed to do more to ensure that the working people really benefit from the opportunities created by free trade. How about fair trade, folks? And I'm so glad that you're so concerned about us working people.
Yeah, I know. As if we're all going to get rich. The only people who get rich off free trade are the people who are able to, they have sufficient money to set up a factory in a poor country and sell their product into a rich country. And in doing so, they can make exorbitant, they can pay low wages, charge high prices, and make a fat profit. They can essentially straddle the oceans. And because they can straddle the oceans, they can profit from the difference in labor costs in one country and retail costs in another country. The average man can't straddle the ocean. He's caught either in the poor country, where he will continue to get poor low wages, or in the high retail country, where he's going to have to pay high prices for cheap products.
Well, that's what the wealthy want to do next with all this open trade and free trade. You know, they're going to say, oh, the little mom and pop shops, you know, now you can you can sell to China. You can sell. Look at all the opportunities there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's what Jack Ma said, the guy who owns Alibaba, the equivalent of Amazon. He says there's too many regulations for the mom and pop shops. Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. Let's see a mom and pop compete against Amazon and Alibaba. There's no way. I don't care how many regulations you take off and so forth. You're not going to be able to compete with them. But it will make their business and it will make their life a lot easier. So, again, it's these laws and legislations are not passed to help you folks. It is, one or two might get a little benefit from it, but the majority of the people, absolutely not. Even Christine Lagarde of the International Monetary Fund, she spoke after the summit, and she said more inclusive growth was a priority. Aren't you glad all these global leaders and everything are telling, oh, yes, inclusive growth, priority in the global economy.
We've got to throw some peanuts to the peons.
She says we need increased growth, but it must be better balanced, more sustainable, love that word, and inclusive so as to benefit all the people.
And it needs to be managed, of course, by the International Monetary Fund and or world government and or the big governments. I mean, people can't handle their own problems. Government will take care of your problems for you. And you know they'll do a great job because they always, always do. The truth is we're being strangled by our own government, just as the Soviet Union was destroyed by its own government. They went too deeply into debt, and the debt became so excessive that they could not keep all of their promises, and ultimately they collapse under the weight of their promises that couldn't be kept. And why couldn't they be kept? Because government is non-productive. All right? It's one thing for someone like me to make a promise. I actually work for a living. I am capable of perhaps keeping the promise. Government can't. The only way government can keep its financial promises is by they make the promise, and then they say, okay, who are we going to tax? Got to get some idiot out there. I know. Why don't we just go into debt? We'll leave the bill for the kids and the grandkids. Somebody's got to pay for all the government's stupidity. And the government keeps selling us free lunches, and we are dumb enough to take those free lunches. And as a result, we're headed for a time when we're going to find out, they weren't for free. They actually have to be paid. And we're going to find out who's going to pay them. And the kids aren't going to pay it. They don't have jobs. All right, at least not enough. Grandkids aren't going to pay it. They're not old enough. We're coming to a time of crisis. Huh? And when we get there, those people who have gold are going to be way better off than those people who have paper. We'll talk more about that as we get into the program, but I don't know. It's just one of those things. You look at it, you see how dire our circumstances are, and you wonder, I have no idea how much longer this can be sustained, and it may be years before the stuff really hits the fan, but it might not be also.
No,
it could be fourth quarter this year. It might be fourth quarter 10 years from now. I don't know when it's going to happen. But it's going to happen. It's mathematically guaranteed. Going to happen.
Well, I think it's certainly going to be sooner than later. And I certainly believe that this election, I mean, it certainly is a strange election. And it's just not Trump and coming out and Hillary and so forth. But if you really look and you know, if the rumors are true about her health, and you've heard Obama already say Trump will never be president. I mean, it's easy to, you know, imagine something that could stay in an election. And,
well, are you hinting that Obama might stick around for a third term?
You know what? I was never one for 20 years, 20 plus years. I've heard this, that, you know, but I'll tell you what, knowing Obama, now, if they actually stayed in an election, I believe there'd be a lot of social unrest. So I don't think that will happen.
I don't either.
But this is a strange election. We're in a strange situation with our economy. We are at a situation where our debt in this country, I mean, we have our debt ceiling has been suspended for 2 years. I mean, nobody really knows what anything is going on. I mean, there's just a lot of things that could happen, so that's why I believe things will happen sooner than later. There's a lot of calls for the with the renminbi being added into the SDRs at the end of September, that all that's going to drop the value of the dollar. Well, you know, I might put pressure on it. Do I believe it's going to go to, you know, it's going to fall out of bed and have it devalued? No, I don't. But I do believe we can see a little bit of weakness, because you have to remember who owns the IMF. You have to understand. You have to understand how those currencies work. You know, countries are allotted. There's rules. So much goes in. It's a way for them to manipulate. So yeah, I could see, since China has devalued their currency so much, yeah, I could see them wanting to strengthen theirs and lose ours a little bit, because we're having problems with our dollar being as strong as it is, because none of these multinational corporations, I mean, they're just all, you know, it's not good for us. So, yeah, I could see some sort of adjustment. Do I believe this would be the ultimate devaluation of the currency? No, I believe when we have the ultimate devaluation of the currency, I believe that I'll have to deal with our debt. It'll be that type of a situation, and something much more major will force that to happen, which I believe that much major force is not that far away. I mean, things are just
it's nipping at our heels, but it has been for some time.
Yeah, but not,
I mean,
we're
this
peaking.
Is the kind of problem that could have
we're
happened.
Peaking.
I get that. I understand that. I mean, I get it, but you got to give the devil his due.
I've always said that you cannot underestimate their power and their abilities.
But they're running out of it.
Yes.
This thing is becoming increasingly irrational and openly irrational. And everybody who looks at this, I don't mean that everyone in the world understands what's going on, but I think just about everyone who looks at this and actually takes the time to understand or try to understand what's going on in global finance and in the U.S. financial systems and whatever, I don't think you can look at this and come away with a happy face. This is in big, we are in big trouble. And the only question is, you know, it's like going down the mountain road in a vehicle with one of the wheels is hanging on with one bolt and one nut. It's dangerous times. Let's take a break for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Searstrom, and we will be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
Well, here's some more information that'll kind of make you want to, if you're going to donate to the campaigns, especially Trump campaign, this will make you want to do it even more. Goldman Sachs, they're prohibiting their top officials from donating to campaigns of state and local politicians. And you say, well, they can still do for the presidential. Well, no, Pence is the governor running for vice president. But there was an email that was sent September 1st to the Goldman Sachs partners, which equals about 1% of their employees, which equals about 37,000 people. It is their highest ranking employees. The bank's government compliance department forbade them from making donations to any federal candidate who is sitting state or local official. The email also says that the rule applies to any governor ruling for president or vice president, such as the Trump-Pence ticket. Vice presidential candidate Mike Pence, of course, is the governor of Indiana. Donations to Trump and Pence, PACs or super PACs will also not be allowed. But they did not prohibit, these new guidelines did not prohibit the top brass from donating to, guess who? Hillary Clinton or Tim Kaine. And kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, all right. It's the sort of thing that just...
It's not interesting, but again, it just goes to show you how close Wall Street and Washington.
Our government is a racket. They're a bunch
how
of gold, crooks.
How Wall Street and how Washington work so close together, and and they're proud of it now. At one point in time, you probably wouldn't read a story about this, or no one would really say anything about it. Because it was something they tried to hide or cover up and so forth. But not anymore. They're kind of proud and proud of it. But I thought that was interesting.
Oh, I agree. It's just one more of those stories that make you wince. And just, You know, it's the sort of thing you look at and it is offensive. It's offensive. They don't have enough respect for the people to even consider their conceal their crimes. Just come out there and they just say, yeah, we're a bunch of crooks. I mean, it's like dealing with Al Capone getting his picture in the newspaper, or who was it, the Teflon Don in New York? I can't think of his last name, but they make a big show of it. Yeah, we're crooks, so what? Well, let's hope that the crooks in government get the same thing that Al Capone got and the same thing that the Teflon Don got. You at least owe us, you people in government at least owe us the courtesy of trying to conceal your crimes. And that's an idea that is apparently lost on government at this time. What else we got, Melody?
Well, there was one more thing. I thought I kept it, but I want to talk. You just picked something, but I found an interesting about our healthcare system. I'll see if I can't find it. If not, we'll have to bring it tomorrow. But how England, their socialized medicine, which is pretty much a cousin to the Veterans Administration, how they're now beginning to turn away surgeries, even emergency surgeries, for people that are either overweight or smokers or that type of thing. And, you know, it's sure we all want to be healthy, and yeah, we know smoking's not good, being overweight's not good, and so forth. But you know what? When it comes down to, you know, determining who, you know,
who lives and who dies,
all for the sake of these insurance companies and these governments, for them to dictate.
Well, what are they really telling us there, Melody? They're telling us they're broke.
Absolutely.
And they can't afford to operate on everyone who needs the help. This is at least an early sign of a coming debt repudiation. Now, they're not going to come right out and say, well, we can't afford to pay the debt. So, you know, too bad for all you people. But they're going to do things like this, and they're going to start cutting access to benefits that, in theory, people have paid for. They were at least promised. And the government's just saying, no, we can't deliver on our promises. Now, they're not going to admit they're repudiating the debt. They're not going to admit that you folks are going to have a a haircut, or you're going to have to endure some restructuring because we can't pay the debt. That means we can't afford to operate on it. But that's what it's going to amount to, and we'll see the same thing in this country before this is done. Government, the debt is too great, can't be paid, won't be paid, and government doesn't want to admit it. I don't know that I will live long enough to hear them admit they can't pay the debt, but that's the reality. And sooner or later, they're going to have to deal with that reality. And when they do, it will be either by means of inflation, where they can covertly reduce the debt, or it'll be by overt repudiation, which means somebody stands up and says, sorry, folks, we're broke. We can't pay.
But you know what's sad, Al, is I wonder how many people, I don't think anyone listening to the program, but how many people out there will actually think, well, what's wrong with that? Oh, hey, if you smoke, hey, you know, you don't deserve the care. Get healthy and then you'll get. And it's just like, I don't know. We talked about when the Obamacare came through that there'd be so-called death panels and so forth. Mm-hmm. And that's really what it is.
Well, this we're talking, the example we have is coming from England.
England,
true.
The Veterans Association, I mean, they're both, you know, one pay. Yeah. So, and look at the problems the Veterans Administration has. Is it by a poorly run agency, or is it by design that veterans are getting difficult or bad care, and so to, you know, so. But it's just around the corner.
A lot cheaper to bury them than it is to fix them, Melody.
How do you think they're going to fix Obamacare, folks? Do you think we're really going to go back to an older system to where there's actually free markets in the health industry, in the healthcare industry, where you have the population of baby boomers that are ready to, you know, need a lot of care? No.
It's a funny thing. We may actually be headed back toward an older system. And what I mean by that, you're going to have to find somebody who lives on your block who had a little training as a nurse, or maybe a vet meaning of someone who worked on animals. Veterinarian.
Well, yeah.
Well, right? You may have to find somebody. You may have to get you or your wife or somebody in the family may have to pick up a first aid manual and say, what do we do if this happens? It becomes we are headed back toward a privatized system simply because if you want any medical care, some of you are going to have to figure out how to sew up your own boo-boos.
Well, that's going way back.
Well, it's going back, but nevertheless, you see what I'm saying.
No, but Al, what you're doing is you're bartering for health care, basically.
All right. Barter for health care. If you got to have it, the government has created obstacles to receiving it. You know, it's like education. We make a big production about educating children, and we give them one of the worst well, 17 to 20th in the world, somewhere in that vicinity. We used to be best in the world. Now we're number 17. Last I heard, we might be number 20. I don't know. Medicine is like that. Yeah, well, it's great medicine if you're wealthy. Right? If you're not, it's a problem. And it goes to government regulation. What's one of the biggest problems medicine has? There's not enough doctors. All right, so why not let nurses, for example, there are a lot of things that nurses can do. Why not let them start practicing? Set up a little clinic of their own where they can deal with your minor emergencies. They can set a bone. They can sew up a cut. They can administer, who knows, certain kinds of drugs. Maybe not highly sophisticated, but you've got to open the doors. You can't, in the name of supposedly maintaining quality, you have restricted the supply of doctors, and the result is price of medicine goes up. Same things happen in law. I used to publish a magazine called The Anti-Shyster. I raised Cain as best I could for lawyers and judges. But I advocated all along what we needed were more lawyers. A lot of people think that's crazy. We don't know. We need more. If we had more lawyers, the price of legal services would fall. Instead of paying some guy a couple hundred dollars an hour and letting him get away with any stunt he wants to pull, there were competitors out there who were willing to work for $50 an hour, they'd get business, and the greedy would get less business.
You're not going to find competitors working for $50 an hour. Try getting one for $50
an
hour.
No, you're not right now. The only way you can
do
it is...
Even back then, you get what you paid for.
The supply.
You got what you paid for.
Well, that's another thing. What do you get from lawyers? You know, the average lawyer loses half of his cases that go to court to litigate. If you and I sue each other and we go to court, your attorney is going to stand up in front of the jury and say, Melody is pure as a driven snow, and my attorney is going to say the same thing about me. One of them's lying, at least, and one of them always loses. One out of two. They got a 50% failure rate. How many of you could hold a job at McDonald's if half the hamburgers you flipped landed on the floor? You'd be out of business, but it's taken for granted that lawyers can get away. They lose half the cases they litigate, on average. Criminal defense lawyers lose even more. They lose probably 95% of the cases they litigate.
I think that a lot of the problem is, Al, why do you need so many? Is because we become a sue-happy country. The things that people used to work out between one another, all of a sudden doesn't get done. People can't communicate anymore. You can't work things out. You can't. So you need, someone in there to mediate and to take it to court. And I mean, it's just like everybody suing was a great way to hopefully get rich quick, or you get a few extra bucks in your
pocket.
There's
the problem. There's another one of the problems.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem.
The problem is the profit of injustice. There's the problem, fundamental problem. We don't go to court because somebody's tree fell on our garage. We go to court because somebody's tree fell on, and we don't go to court to fix whatever was damaged. We go to court to maybe get rich. We don't just go to replace the garage.
Maybe we can
get a new Cadillac or a Mercedes-Benz out of the deal. Right? And what we have to understand is that justice does not merely mean that the plaintiff gets everything he's entitled to. It also means that the defendant does not pay more than he's liable for. All right? You can't just run a system like a grand lottery and an opportunity to get rich. That's what drags people. It's what entices people to sue, oh boy, I could get rich. And it compels other people to defend. There's people out there who are responsible for doing $2,000 worth of damage to your car. They would be happy to give you the $2,000, just say, gee, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. It was an accident, I made a mistake. But if you're going to sue them for $50,000, guess what? They're not going to give you the $2,000. They're not going to offer to settle. They're going to hire an attorney and pay everything they have to pay to defend to make sure you don't collect a single dime. The injustice, again, it's not just a question of getting what you deserve. It's also not getting more than you deserve. And our system doesn't recognize that at all. So, in any case, my notion is that we should have more people. There's all kinds of people that are competent to help people with traffic tickets, for example, or minor problems in law. Well, it doesn't take a genius. It doesn't take, 3 years of law school and a PhD or whatever in order to deal with traffic tickets. It can be handled by people for reasonable prices. And it should be possible for ordinary people to do that. There are people I know who are quite competent and have won quite a few traffic tickets. They should be able to help others, but it's restricted. Well, the same thing's going on in medicine. They restrict the supply of doctors, and when they do, they say it's to help you, they say it's to maintain quality, but the truth is the restricted supply forces you to pay higher prices than the market should be able to charge. That result, sooner or later, you got to learn how to sew up your own wounds. You have to learn how to take care of your own medicine. Somebody in the family's got to study first aid. And you hope they're not the ones who get beat up and cut up and whatever. But my point in all of this is that if you want to look for the cause of the problem, look closely at government.
And also what you have to look at is how are you going to pay for these things? When you think your dollar is going to hold up against everything that is coming our way, the dollar is going to continue to lose value. The only thing that's going to protect your purchasing power for health care, hey, if you needed an attorney to litigate your broker so you can get your money after the markets were closed or they shut down the stock market for 3 months and you have to hire an attorney for that, hey, how are you going to pay for it? What's going to protect your purchasing power? It's going to be gold. Gold is your monetary item in order to protect it against your falling currency. You have to exchange those fiat dollars and get something that's real money.
Get a payment, not a promise.
And this is something that has been proven time and time again. And it's not, when I listen to these folks out there who, and I know they're popular amongst all you listeners. If you listen to them, my gosh, you think the world is coming to an end tomorrow. And it might very well be. But then they tell you to get into some sort of a paper investment. Well, if they talk like the world is coming apart tomorrow, why in the world would you want to buy a paper investment? It doesn't even make sense. It's not logical. It might make sense, but it's not logical. And because they use that to get you to call, and then they kind of change you and sell you on getting, oh, well, here's 5% of physical gold. Folks, that's not going to do it for you. It's not going to do it for you. And then they'll sell you the rest in paper. Folding gold.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, yeah, it's kind of a clever statement.
Yep.
But at that point too, it's kind
cute,
of
but if you're gonna invest on the basis of cute, you're headed
too.
For trouble.
It's also stupid.
Of course it is.
So again, folks, be logical about it. Don't get caught up in the greed, in the promises of 400% returns, 800% returns. Yeah, they come to probably, maybe. So. And what's funny is they always tell you, oh, this stock returned 900%. Well, you can't buy that today, but we got this other one that'll do the same thing. They're just pitching you. So if you're concerned about our world economics, our economies, and if you believe our dollar is going to lose value, which I think many of our listeners believe as I do, you need to get protected with gold, physical gold and silver. Take delivery of it.
Okay, let's take a break for some commercials, Melody, and you folks can take delivery of a couple of our commercials. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom, and we'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
I have a nice little package today. I'm going to carry the Mint State 64, $20, St. Gaudens gold piece. We have them priced incredibly low. You're probably looking at a $50 savings per coin. And we're also going to add 20 Morgan silver dollars. Now, these are 1921 Morgan silver dollars in circulated VG plus condition, and we're going to add 20 of those. This includes your shipping costs, and to make the premium easy, that comes to $2,016. $2,016 for a Mint State 64, $20 St. Gaudens, and 20 Morgan silver dollars VG plus condition, for a total of $2,016. I think the 64 Saints right now are a great buy. I mean, basically, let me do this real quick. They were priced $65 over a Mint State 62. And you can have hundreds of dollars of spread between a Mint State 62 Saint and a Mint State 64 Saint in a very demand type market. So great buy on Mint State 64, $20 St. Gaudens 2016, which includes 20 Morgan silver dollars, and your shipping is included.
I've got an interesting article here. This is from Cheat Sheet. And it says, how much money does the average American have in their bank account? What are you snickering about?
Not much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Wall Street publication, the rest, they take all the cheat sheet, but it's a credible publication to say incredibly high earners and billionaires can skew the numbers quite a bit, while those who are deep in debt will still have some money in accounts somewhere. However, the average American has about $4,436 in their bank account. The number comes from a study by bank consulting firm Moeb Services in 2014. Okay, this is 2 years later now, all right? Nevertheless, I'm surprised the average American has $4,436 in their bank account, but it reflects how much it includes, how much is in Bill Gates' bank account, all right? It's not just a question of how much is in your bank account or mine. It reflects how much is in Bill Gates. What's even more offensive, well, they represented a significant jump from 2012's number, all right? They have 4,436 in 2014. This is a big jump above 2012. What's even more amazing is how much higher that figure was the 2014 figure was than it was in 2007, just prior to the Great Recession, when the average American had only $788 in their checking accounts. Now, what this tells us is that Americans have become significantly more inclined to save. Right? And it will explain why, for example, business at restaurants is down. People aren't buying. They're trying to squirrel money away to the limit of their ability in bank accounts and savings accounts, whatever. They've gone from 788 in 2007 to 4,436 in 2014. One reason for the change, it's not necessarily true that people are richer, it's that people are managing their finances differently. Again, people are saving rather than speculating or spending. That's evidence of a deflationary mindset among the public. Deflation is typically associated with economic recession or depression. We can see why government is spending so much. It's quite possibly trying to stimulate the economy by supplanting what would otherwise be spent by the American people. If your folks are saving your money, that's not stimulating the economy. If there's going to be any stimulation, it's kind of up to the government to borrow and spend the money and see if they can rebuild public confidence where people stop saving so much and start spending. What we're looking at is the aftermath of the Great Recession of 2008, 2009, and people were burned so badly that apparently it's made an indelible mark in their minds, where a lot of them are sitting back, I'm not getting into that again. Whatever's happened, I'm going to have a little money in the bank. Right? I'm not going to survive just completely hand-to-mouth on this thing. A 2015 survey from GoBankingRates.com reports that 62% of Americans have less than $1,000 in savings. So we're looking at the average. We're saying that the wealthy people are saving more money. Poor people at 62% have less than a grand, $1,000 in the bank. 21% don't even have a savings account. A report from the Federal Reserve in 2013 says 4,000 people were surveyed. Of those, 31% reported having no retirement savings or pension, including 19% of those aged 55 to 64, and 25% didn't know how they will pay for their expenses in retirement. And they conclude saying, for a lot of people, this means one thing. They're just one or two missed paychecks away from being in a lot of trouble. The implications of this little article is that rich people are saving more, and they're skewing the savings results. Poor people are still in trouble. What did they say? 62% have less than $1,000 in their savings, but rich people are saving more. Ordinary people aren't saving much. Going to be a difficult time, and we have to assume that if rich people are saving more, they tend to be of a mindset where they think there's a crisis coming, right? They think, there's trouble headed our way, and we'd better get ready for it and prepare as best we can. And they are skewing the numbers
higher to 4,436, where historically, at least in recent times, the average has been below $1,000 per bank account. So I don't know if that makes a lot of sense to people, but it may explain why a lot of businesses are slow. People are tending to save, and wisely so. The unfortunate thing is that we live in an economy where if people save, which is sensible and prudent, it diminishes, it destimulates the economy. If you're saving money, you're not spending it. If you're not spending it, somebody doesn't have to work to make whatever gewgaws you might otherwise purchase. There's an imbalance here where they depend on you folks to spend something. They depend on all of us to be consumers. That means we have to, typically, it means we have to go into debt, borrow something. Will you please borrow something, go out and spend the money? That's what they want the consumers to do. And all by itself, it's dangerous and it's wrong. What they should be focusing on is not a consumer environment where people only, in order to keep the economy running, all we need to do is go out and buy something. In order to keep the economy running, what we need to do is produce something. And increasingly, we don't. We've been buying so many products from China, for example, or other third world countries, and our jobs have moved overseas. Illegal aliens come in to take jobs that remain. If we're not producing something, we are going to starve. You know, it's that old notion, you got a pie and everybody gets a piece of the pie. Well, if the pie gets bigger, we all get a bigger piece. If we're producing more apples and more pie crust and the rest of it, we get more pie. We're not producing more pie. We are consuming more pie, but only because we are borrowing against the future. And we're getting a big chunk of pie, and we think, oh, that's great, or at least some of us are getting a pretty big chunk of pie. But it's based on borrowing, not production. And sooner or later, that's going to bite every one of us. It's going to cause us great harm. And many of us are going to be forced to learn how to produce once again. And if you can't, you're going to starve. Well, anyway, I thought it was interesting. I don't know if it was interesting to you, Melody, or not. Did you find it interesting that people are saving enough?
It is interesting because, you know, again, we hear, you know, we know the jobs, we know the part-times, they're working multiple jobs, they're all part-time jobs, wages stink, they're really not going up. And so it's, you know, how do you account for those savings? We know gasoline prices have gone down. Mm-hmm. Perhaps that was enough to offset some of those savings. You know, I mean, because that's the only thing that really has gone down is gasoline prices in that time frame. So,
well, there's another side on that. What's gone up, and that is the profits to the wealthiest people in the country. Mm-hmm. It's easier for them to save because they're making more money. Again, this article pretty much admits that the numbers, we're dealing with average numbers, and most of the people, 62%, have 1,000 or less. If we've got $4,400 average, it means that the wealthiest people are saving more, probably because they're making more.
Yeah, but it does show that there is concern. I mean, and I think we're seeing that also in the election. People are concerned. It's just not about building a wall and keeping the illegals out. It's also about, you know, those jobs. But you know what's interesting about jobs? I was talking to someone yesterday, and he says, you know, in the area we live, there's a booklet that's published. It's probably 20 pages. You know, maybe a 5x7. It's not a huge paper, but maybe a 5x7 little magazine. That's for employment. You know, and the print is small, and about 20 pages. And it's like, you know, there's, you know, that we're paying $9 and $10 an hour. And what's sad is because benefits, and we've talked about that before in this program, benefits actually pay more. than the wages of the $9 and $10. That doesn't mean that the wages are low for what is required for the job requirement. It's that government is paying too much on these benefits. And
government is meddling and promising it to be everything to everyone. If you'll just vote for me, I'll see to it that you get a free lunch. And that's the fundamental pledge of virtually everyone in Congress and the Senate to somebody. They're giving away free lunches, but they're not free. Somebody's going to have to pay for them. And it's government's promises of free lunches that have made this, put this country in great jeopardy. How can they make those promises? They can make them because we have a fiat monetary system where you can spin paper dollars out of thin air.
Yep.
If we still had a gold or silver-based monetary system, we had gold until 33 in this country. We had silver until 68 in this country. We had gold internationally until 1971. If we still had the gold and silver impose limits on the government that they can't easily get around because you can't spin gold or silver out of thin air. When once we went to the fiat currency, government could print all the money it wanted. It can buy everything it wants. It can promise anything it wants, and politicians took it for granted. Let's just promise the yokels more free lunches and they'll vote for us.
You know, I also saw, and it's interesting because this was actually from CNN. And I was surprised that this report was from CNN and it's about the election. And I don't mean to get back to the election, but it kind of all ties together. And it was basically referencing in this G20 meeting how Obama was not the best liked guy there. I mean, he had numerous problems. I mean, they didn't even bring the ladder out on the tarmac at the plane. Now, you talk about showing disrespect you're basically thumbing its the nose at Obama. You had Russia. They basically also thumbed its nose at the United States. You had China. You had the Philippines. I mean, heck, the only one that probably stuck by Obama's side was because of these refugees was the Europeans. But everybody else in the world, and it kind of surprises me. I don't recall a time when so many world leaders were so outspoken.
Contemptuous.
Yeah. At the end of a presidential term. I mean, they only got 2 months to wait.
Well, Obama really, he's earned it.
Well, a little bit.
He's earned it. How many wars has the Nobel Peace Prize winner fomented
or
participated in?
But it's like they're supporting Trump. You know, it's this way to come back and say.
Maybe they are.
You know, yeah.
Maybe they are. Maybe they're looking forward to somebody they can work with, not some ideologue who's bound
but yet they also
to
know
havoc.
But in the previous report that we had, it was like the G20 meeting was all for, you know, free trade and more globalization, which they won't. We're not supposed to get with Trump. Maybe we still will. I don't know.
Well,
but
maybe we'll
interesting
just get something
to see the
reasonable,
conflicting
but
reports.
I mean, Obama, whether he gives us free trade or not, you can bet he's going to give us war.
Yes.
All right? That's the one thing. And maybe if push comes to shove, people would rather not have – they are more opposed to war than they are in favor of free trade. We're out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's you.